Father, we come before you. Thank you for this privilege again to look into your word and to be surrounded by your angels, to have the mind of Christ and to be reassured of your love and your mercy, not just for us, but for all of the world. And we know, great God, that your plan is unfolding and its timing is perfect. And tonight we pray you will open our eyes to see how privileged we are to have Christ in us, to recognize the truth, to know that we are a temple, to know that Christ is cleansing that temple, and that we are being worked with in this age today so that we can be saviors, kings, and priests that come up on Mount Zion to bring healing to the rest of this world. We know, Father, we have to suffer if we're going to be kings and priests. We have to go through stuff. We have to be afflicted like our Lord, and we're promised the same strength, the same mercy that you showed him, so that we can get through this and we can come through it and be blessed and rejoice in the morning and know that we have something to offer the world. We thank you for training us up and for giving us every opportunity that we have, because we know it's precious. And we know, Father, we're told not to forsake that assembly. As we near the end of this age, we need each other so much. We thank you for the praise report from David and are grateful that you've provided for him, and he has been given endurance to go through so many trials for the body of Christ, and that you have given him a truck, Father, and that he has more mobility now. Please continue to anoint him and bless him. Thank you for the work that he's done on the TOA and all the tremendous blessing he's been to Mike, helping in his research, and all of us, Father, who have used that. Please continue to bless him and his family. We pray for John McDowell as well, that he's blessed and held up and given confidence and faith and the ability to become very good at his job and to pass these tests that he's taking to become an expert with wine and in this field of food industry. We also pray, Father, for Sandra, who wants to be able to be there for her son, and ask that you will bless her and provide her with a car and the means to get there. And we do pray for her protection on the road as she travels, and that will be a rewarding and a blessed time if it is in her book for that to happen. And give her peace, Father, and strength as that unfolds. We also pray for peace, Father, in each of our lives, that whatever happens, like Cheryl said, whatever happens in the world, that we recognize your hand in the midst of it, that you strengthen us and help us to face whatever trials are going to come upon the body of Christ and the world in particular. We know it's going to get worse before it gets better. So we need to be armed with the mind and the suffering of Christ. And we need to realize that you are witnessing through us that we can endure all things through Christ. Help us to be there for one another and grant us the vision that we need, Father, to not worry about tomorrow and to not be afraid of what men can do to our flesh, because we are so blessed to be alive in Christ and know that that's what really matters at the end of the day, no matter what happens physically. And in light of that, we pray for Mike and Sandy as they'll travel on the 15th and the 23rd. Watch over them, keep them safe in their travels, and bring them back home safely, Father. And for everyone going to England as well, please have mercy on our family there, Father, to keep them safe as they travel overseas. We thank you for Nick and his wife and pray that you will bless her so that she can do well with this test to become a physical therapist. And thank you for providing for their family. And for Lee Harrington, who's gone through so much suffering with his knees and health in general. And those things wear on our spirits, Father, when we're sore pressed, when we have sickness that just continues to persist. It's very hard. And we pray you hold up our brother and help him not to be down spiritually, but strengthen him through these great trials and help him to know that we love him, we care for him, we're praying for him, and we know that you can help him through this. We ask the same for Paul, who has gone through so much as well and has been stressed in different ways and needs your love and encouragement. We thank you for him, Father, and pray that you will help us all protect our spirits as we come to the end of this age. We know that Satan knows he has a little time and his wrath will increase, and we will have to have a greater shield of faith, and we will need your prayers, Lord, to strengthen us as you did for Peter. We'll need your help, and we'll need to be Jesus Christ for one another increasing our faith and overcoming together. And we pray for Eric's position, that you'll bless him and continue to provide for him. And we're grateful. It's a praise report, Father. The prayers of the saints are prevailing. And we thank you for providing for Sandra's husband. And we also pray for Deb, who's with us. We ask that you continue to encourage her, and thank you for the faithful work that you're doing through her, Father, through all of this incredible trial of her health. She's stayed positive. She's reached out to the body. She's been a great example and a light to all of us. Please continue to heal her and strengthen her through this trial. And we ask the same for Lynn, that you have mercy on her with all the back pain that she's had to endure. And have mercy on her, Father, and grant Dennis the comfort and the strength that he needs to provide for her and to continue to hold her up through these difficult times of health. And we pray for our friend Calvin, that he is kept sober and off of the very drugs that he's been taking. And I know, Father, that's whatever is going to happen. It's written in his book as well. So another case in point where we have to be prepared to see whatever happens. Whatever happens is going to happen, but we do pray for mercy. And we do ask that you will be merciful to my wife as well. She's really, truly sore pressed at work. We both are, but we know that you're causing it. And we ask that you help us to realize that it will never be more than we can bear or endure. And that's true for everyone on this call and all of our family. So we look into your word, and specifically, Father, we pray you open our eyes to see that we are Jesus Christ, that we are the temple, that we don't want to have a reprobate mind. We want to believe that that's what Christ said. This is the work that you do, to believe. When someone said, how do we do the works? Well, we believe that we are Jesus Christ, and we believe that we're more than conquerors through him. And we give you all the glory in that process. And we thank you for saving us day by day as we die daily, and ask your blessing now on this study, thanking you for everything in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, that kind of led into the prayer. The prayer led into the study. And the study last week, if you recall, we got through the first verse, but the conversation was just so lively and so blessed that will happen. And so we make way, you know, as the Lord gives us opportunities to expand on any part of his word. We're so grateful for that. Tonight we're going to look at actually verses 2-4, I think. And so I want to start off by just saying, over the years, we've talked about the all-inclusiveness of our potential in Christ. And if you recall last week, Steve Lozo brought up some verses, and he just, one verse after another, talking about this singleness, the simplicity, or the actual word is the singleness that's in Christ. And I got to thinking about that, you know, that singleness is really, has been something that we've all talked about, the body of Christ. God brings this back into our recollection over and over to remind us of the singleness, the unity that we have in the body of Christ. So it says here, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the singleness that is in Christ. So there's the serpent's goal right there, to take us away from the understanding of the singleness that is in Christ. And the simplicity is a good word, but the real word is singleness. And how that singleness is translated into the idea that there's one event unto all men. Ecclesiastes 9:3, that says, this is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. Speaking of all men, how all things are ours. So if you tie Ecclesiastes 9:3 with 1 Corinthians 3:21 to 23, it says, therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God's. And so by that we know we're one in the Lord through that. And I go on to say, and how the Lord brings us to rejoice in the strength, the body of Christ, we rejoice in the strength of knowing the true anointed body of Christ, we're blessed to come to understand that the world will one day be saved and brought into a realm where there is no division, but only harmony and peace. In John 3, marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. So I'm just going to talk about that realm. The wind blows where it lists, and you hear the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it comes and whither it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, are you a master of Israel and know not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto you, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And 1 John 2, verses 20 to 25, this will kind of play into what we're talking about. I think we'll have to go there, yeah. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is the Antichrist. He is Antichrist, rather, that denieth the Father and the Son. That's interesting how that's worded, because this is eternal life, to know God and his Son, Jesus Christ. And just the opposite of that, he is Antichrist that denieth Father and the Son. So whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. Now think about what I just said. What is eternal life? To know God and his Son, Jesus Christ. So that knowing of Christ is a gift, and it's not the world's fault that they don't know him, but that's what we're being told. So we can come right down now to this part. God comes right out and tells us that to know we are the body, to not know we are the body of Christ or the temple of God is to be in a reprobate state of mind, which we must grow out of by the grace and faith of Christ. So I've never put these two verses together, but if you look at 1 Corinthians 3:16, know you not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? So we're called to examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. It has always been Satan's goal to discredit Christ and his body throughout history, that singleness. If we consider all the times our Father has allowed the church and Christ when he was alive, and all the types of Christ to be almost destroyed, we begin to see a pattern, and actually in some cases destroyed, but we begin to see a pattern that confirms to our spirits that the gates of hell will not prevail against the body of Christ. So I say, you know, destroyed. If the flesh is destroyed, Christ says, don't fear what men can do to your flesh. And he says, I'll show you who you should fear. Fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. So that's what we fear as the body of Christ. We don't fear what men can do to our flesh. We don't fear what is going to come upon this earth. We fear God, and we reverence God, and we recognize that he's working with our souls, and he's preparing them to be souls that can go on to eternal life. And so that's where our focus is, God willing. That's where we're focused. Matthew 16:18. The gates of hell won't prevail against the body of Christ, but they will prevail. They will prevail as the Lord allows and uses these trials. So against the flesh, the world will prevail. And God uses it to whatever degree God allows, and uses these trials to witness against our flesh, to show us what is inside of us, and to demonstrate his power, which does and will deliver us through Christ and his Christ as we go from glory to glory through Christ. And I think I mentioned this last week. If Stephen had any self-righteousness in his heart at the moment that he was being stoned, he would have turned around and said, you know, smite them all. But he had Jesus Christ in him. And like Christ on the cross, he said, lay this not to their charge. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. So that's what God is able to do in us through Christ. The last part of, I found this very interesting, of John, 1 John 2, 26 and 29, I read 20 to 25, I think, is more confirmation of this point that God will allow evil men and seducers to wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, of 2 Timothy 3:13. And it is important to line up the thought in 1 John 2:27 with the next verse in 2 Timothy 3:14 and these other verses that I have written down here. So let's have a look at those, starting with, I guess, 1 John 2:26. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you, and that's in 2 Timothy 3:13. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you all things of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doth righteousness is born of him. And so here's the verse, 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, which is just what will happen if Christ is not taking dominion over our temple. Evil men are going to wax worse and worse. Well, that tells us that the Lord is allowing spirits to become more powerful, and there's a growing, there's an increase. Just like we understand that God gives us the increase spiritually as the body of Christ, we know that he can give increase in wickedness in the earth if he so chooses. 1 John 2:27, but the anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. And 2 Timothy 3:14. Now here's a point that I just wanted to bring out, is that does that mean that we don't need a teacher? Well, we've studied this and we know that that's not what it's saying, but it's telling us that we don't need to follow the flesh of men. We need to follow each other as we follow Christ. And here's some verses that bring that into light, to the confirmation of that. But continue thou in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them. Well, who have we learned them from? The manifold wisdom, the knowledge of God, is learned through the church. God inspires and gives the body of Christ what we need. And through our own personal studies, it's not to be excluded. It's all working together, but we have to recognize that God gives us the knowledge. He inspires us through Christ. And here we have Acts 8:30. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandeth thou what you read? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. So that's how God's made us. We need instruction. We need to be students. I'm learning. We're all learning. Every time I open up an email or whatever it is, God knows what we need too. And that's the other point, is that the Comforter will lead us into all truth. So we need to ask God, Lord, lead us into truth. Deliver us from the devil, from the lies of this world, within and without. And lead us into the truth. Help us to know where we come short, or where we have to grow. It is with the Comforter that God gives us and manifests through the body of Christ the knowledge that we need, and the reason why we follow each other as we follow Christ and not follow any man. The shadow, and I found this very interesting, I never thought of it, the shadow of what Christ can and is doing within the body of Christ is found in this verse in 2 Peter 1:21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. But were those holy men converted? That's my question. Of course, they weren't. But they were a type and a shadow of our conversion which is spoken of right here in Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known, not maybe, he says, to whom God would make known, what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we know those Gentiles are within us as well. So God is making known to us what the truth is, and he does it through the body of Christ. So we come down to this last part here. These following verses that we are about to look at in Psalm 65, verses 2 to 4, remind us of the calling that we have in our Lord and how it is only through much tribulation that his power can continue to rest upon us and purge away the iniquities which have a season of prevailing against us, like the psalm says, leading to our crying out for deliverance, which we are blessed to experience today as the Lord purges away our sins and blesses us to hear the voice of the true shepherd in each other. And those are some of the verses that are just sort of referred to. We all know Acts 14:22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Well, what a calling, you know. We exhort each other to go into the fire. We say, go into the fight, a good fight of faith. Don't worry about what men can do to your flesh. God is going to be victorious through you. You were called to witness his power. So we have to really come to realize we're more than conquerors through Christ. 2 Corinthians 12:9, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather rejoice in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And so many other verses come to mind. God makes his strength perfect through weakness is a good starting point in what Christ said. The gates of hell won't prevail against the body of Christ. You will drink the cup. All of these different verses that tell us that this we are God's workmanship. And there's no doubt that if we are God's workmanship, what God has started in us, he will finish through Christ. Psalms 107:28, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. And finally, if we are of God, he that knows God hears us. He that is not of God hears not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And that is our hallmark. It's a very hallmark verse. It's the sum of God's word, but this verse is very important because it reminds us that we want to hear, and there's a difference between not understanding and not hearing, and eventually it becomes clear when someone is not hearing the voice of the true shepherd. But we have to be so long-suffering, and we wait, and we bear with the infirmity of those who are learning. That's not in question. We always wait and grow and learn. And we should never be afraid to ask a question. I used to ask so many questions. I still do, but perhaps I could ask more questions. But a lot of that happens in prayer. So here are the verses we're looking at from verses 2 to 4. O thou that heareth prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. And I just thought of that. That's speaking of God, but it's also speaking of us. We hear each other's prayer. If Christ is in us, we hear the voice of the true shepherd. And I just read the verse in 1 John 4:6. So we hear each other's prayers. Unto you shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, you shall purge them away. Blessed is the man whom you choose and cause to reproach unto you, that he may dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, even of thy holy temple. And I simply love that verse because it just makes me think of us sitting around at a table with the body of Christ, having a meal together, sharing in music, doing whatever we're blessed to do together. There's just always this beautiful, unspoken harmony that's there. And that's what God is preparing for all of the world. Here's the first verse. O thou that hearest prayers, unto thee shall all flesh come. O you that hearest prayers is preceded by unto thee shall all flesh come, because it is the fervent prayers that we make in our flesh that bring us to God and Christ in each other in obedience, as we die daily to all worldly passions, crucifying the lust of the flesh and of the eyes and of the pride of life, so that we can do the will of God. And I like how those thoughts come together, because 1 Corinthians 15 says, I protest by your rejoicing, I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. And how do we die daily? Well, 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. This is all part of the process of dying daily. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And this is the interesting part. The world passes away. Our flesh will not inherit the kingdom. It's going to pass away, and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever. That's aeonian. So if we're going to abide forever, be in that first resurrection, we have to be accomplishing something, and that is the will of God. And of course, if we pray for God's will, we know that it's going to require that we put off our flesh. And so we can expect that it's going to be a painful process, but one that God has promised to give us the power to endure through. God's blessing and purpose for the elect is to have them remain yielded unto him through Christ, so that we can continue to abide in Christ together and bring forth much fruit and glorify God by declaring to the world the wonderful works that he alone could accomplish in us, because we were blessed to be connected to the true vine. And here are the verses. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are there unto called, that you should inherit a blessing. That verse is, I don't know why, but whenever I read it, it seems kind of, it's not very subtle. It's just straight out. God's telling you, you're blessed. You're called to a blessing. Rejoice in that. Know that it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That's another way of saying the same thing. And he gives it to us daily because the kingdom of God is within, and we receive it, and we're blessed to know that there's hope for the world. And we can rest in that hope and know that God's going to protect that hope, because we're saved by it. Matthew 19:29, and everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands, and not one of us could do any of that except the Lord was working in us, for my name's sake, for his word, shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. And John 15, with these verses, are probably some of the most quoted verses in the Bible. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branches cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. It truly is the prayers of the saints that are working according to the counsel of his will, which we pray because it is Christ who is working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure, which is to give us the kingdom. We recognize that this kingdom is within us today, being raised together, and it says that in Ephesians, by being given the faith to believe that we have the earnest of our inheritance working within us until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So there's a lot of verses there. I won't read them all, but that's our first verse. O thou that hearest prayers, unto thee shall all flesh come. What does that make anyone here think of? Or are there any comments in any part of the study? You're going to think I was drinking coffee. I'm talking so fast. But I guess I'm trying to get it all in. Hopefully not too fast. Cheryl, your hand is up.
Thank you so much, Tony. And this is a wonderful teaching. And I want to speak about abiding in him. I was in my last 20 chapters of 2 Chronicles last night when you sent your song. I heard that song and I just thought, let me just keep on going, because I just thought I could do it over coffee this morning. But I'm really, really anxious about things I'm seeing in his word. And I I didn't do this on my own, but I finished my whole Bible last night from beginning to end. So you can call me a sommelier because I took in his wine. And I'm prostrate before the Lord. My husband said, "What's on your forehead?" I said, "That's from laying on the carpet because of the things I'm seeing." And I did have a little attack from the traducer this morning after that great, wonderful thing, saying to me that after all these years of reading and digging and praying and looking and hoping, that I've got half a talent and I might as well just bury it in the ground because it's too much. And I'll never get to the bottom of this pit that I'm looking through right now. And that traducer said, "You know, just think about sweet Jesus and happy thoughts, and I'll see you in the second resurrection." And I'm like, "No, I don't come in the name of Cheryl. I come in the name of the Lord. And I know who my Lord is. And my eyes and my feet are swollen. I'm swollen from head to toe, and I feel like a pregnant woman. A woman that's given a son in her old age. And I know who the true Father is. And I tell that Satan, in the name of our Lord, that even if I don't get a reward, and even if my Father does not save me from this furnace, I'm going to fight tooth and nail in his power to put a hole in Baal. Now, these holidays are right around the corner. And I want you to know, if anybody wants to take a look at what it takes to depart from evil, you're going to say, well, gosh, what king's going to go to war without counting the cost? You know, wouldn't want to go to battle with no people. You wouldn't want to know what you're not getting into. I don't know a whole lot about war. I mean, I did spend a little bit of time in the military, just a little bit, doing stupid things. But you don't go to war without knowing who your enemy is, and you don't go to war for no reason. You go because you do know what the problem is, and you do know that there's a mighty one that's enlisted you in his army. And who would want to shake that off? Everyone that's going to be in the elect is going to suffer. And the people that don't want to suffer, they can just go to the second resurrection. But if you're going to be in the first resurrection, you need to know who your enemy is and what our God is calling us to do. And all of you have been teaching me so much over the last few years. And even when I was in exile, I held on to your teachings, and I read the stuff on the IWWB site. And I have urgency to have a teeny bit of his wine bursting through my old wineskin, and I'm unable to be sweet and lovely and meek, and I apologize for that. But it's a very serious thing, and I just want everybody to know what a high calling it is. But it's the privilege that goes with it is absolutely tremendous, and the things that our Lord has is outrageous. And so I thank all of you, and I love all of you, and I hope that you will help me, pray for me, get your shovels out, start digging. Take a look. If you don't want to look anywhere else, just read his whole Bible. Make that a goal and ask God to help you do it. I mean, I know what it feels like to be dragged to the table, and there's 100 excuses that can come your way. But if everybody in the elect is reading the scriptures, how much more would we be great, because we'd be abiding in the one true God? And if we really don't care about what our only true God has to say, then why would we try to be in the elect? I'm sorry, I just want to encourage all of you. Just come together. I mean, we build each other up. This is a house of prayer. Amen. I pray that we all put, you know, do whatever we can to take a look at what it means to depart from evil. And, you know, I just want to ask all of you to think on those things, and those things that we can pray for. If you don't have thirst and if you don't have desire for him, we can pray for those things. Get down and pray. Ask God to show you. Ask God to help you to absorb his words. If you can't understand one Bible, get one that you can and read it. It doesn't matter if it's the King James or the COV or whatever it is, but read the whole thing. Get filled up with him. That's what it's going to take, because if we try to look at these things without him with us, we're going to be absolutely scared to death and turn back and go home before we scare everybody else with our sour reports about what we saw in the land of the giants. Mm-hmm. So I'm calling to Joshua and Caleb. Abide in the Lord. Everybody, encourage each other to stay in the Lord. And it's really important. It just feels like the big giant thumb is on the big giant red button around the corner. And so thank you so much, Tony. Gail bless me so much. And all of you do.
You're welcome, Cheryl. Thank you for all that you have encouraged the body with. You know, your life is a living testimony. Christ is working all of that. We have an important principle, you know, to learn from each other as a body of Christ, because God tells us that it's not just the knowing of the word. You know, it's the continuing in the truth that sets us free. And I'll try to explain what I'm saying, because I think it's important that we hear this. The body of Christ in Christ's day did not have all of the epistles written. Not everyone heard and had privilege to have all of the words of God, the Bible as we know it today, in front of them. So not to take away from what you're saying, Cheryl, because it is important that we read the Bible. It is important that we stay in the Word of God. But what God is showing us is that it's the comforter that he gives us. He told Timothy that those scriptures of the old covenant were able to make him wise, not the new covenant, wise unto salvation. He wasn't excluding the new covenant, and I'm not excluding either, because we know today that the sum of God's word is truth. But it is a comforter, God's comforter, and that's what we pray for. We have to be soldiers, like you're saying, it says in Timothy, to endure hardships like a good soldier. We have to realize, as the body of Christ, we have a very unique privilege to have the Spirit of God leading us into all truth. And if we abide in the truth, not if we know every verse of the Bible, not if we know Scripture from start to finish, from Genesis to Revelation, if we abide in the truth, Christ says, the truth will set you free. Christ is that truth. He is our strength and our life. And he is the reason we can endure until the end. Not because we know all the words of the Bible, not because we know any specific passage of the Bible. We've got to understand that as the Bible, as a body of Christ. And please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. We all, every one of us on this call knows that we have to be zealous for the Word of God. We have to stay in the Word, because we have to be realizing that there are treasures in it and they're to be dug out. And we bring those to the body of Christ. You've encouraged me many, many times, Cheryl. But I don't want you to be burdened, and anyone else, thinking that, boy, if I can only get through the entire Bible and read from Genesis to Revelation, then I will be in the first resurrection or something of that ilk. Because it's not true. What is true is that God is working a work in each of us, and that we as the body of Christ bring that knowledge to one another, that word fitly spoken, which I've heard over and over through the body of Christ. That is where salvation comes from. When Christ is strengthened by an angel in the garden, the angel is symbolic of us coming to one another in our time of need, giving the spiritual drink that we need at the right time. Yes, stay in the Word of God and know the Word of God, but understand that that Word is being given to you to share like you did tonight. And this is what God is showing me, is that if you have all knowledge and you have all understanding, and if we don't come together in a spirit of love and faith to share that, then what good is my knowledge? It becomes a sounding, it says a gong. It's of no value to me, and it's no value to you. So I'm glad for what you said, because it sparked something in my mind that I wanted to say for some time. We really need to understand, as a body of Christ, we all have something to contribute. We all bring something, each joint. And we may just be that person who is gleaning in the field, and we may bring the most gigantic nugget of truth that is so needed at that specific time, that glass of water that's going to help us in the heat of battle. So you keep believing that, because that is what we're called to do. We're called to be there for each other, and more as we near the end of this age, we have to come together, provide that glass of water, and realize that God knows our hearts. That's what he's looking at, and that's what he's forming and shaping to that end. So I hope something that I've said can encourage any one of us tonight. And if you want to, do you want to respond to that, Cheryl?
Yes, thank you. I just want to say thank you for that. I'm always encouraged by the body. I mean, I was drug away from the body and then brought back to a family for the first time in my life. And this family is very important to me. And I want to be encouraging. I'm not trying to be browbeating. I just want to, I think that our God tells us what's coming up and what it's going to cost. And I'd rather know than not know. And I'd rather know the one who's leading me than to not know what's going on. And but God does give the information through our leaders and the teachers, which I appreciate so much, because and that's why I try to get on every webinar so I can see what God's going to say. And it's amazing how all the teachings in the last couple months have pointed right to some things that I'm seeing. So I meant to say thank you for that.
Welcome, Cheryl. And I meant to say that we love you and appreciate you so very much. And I think what you God has used you to say some key things. That's how he works the body. Someone will say something, and that will spark the conversation because our lives are intertwined. They're written in God's book, and we're the body of Christ. We're not just any church. We are the beloved church. We are Mary in type and shadow. We are his bride, and we are being washed, and we are being prepared to save the world. So our conversations are written in heaven. They're extremely important, and they're all documented, and they're all purposeful to that end, that the world will see the love that he bestowed upon us. He said to Mary, "You're well favored." He said that to her, Mary. And why did he say that? Because it's a type of us. We are well favored. We're continually looked over and watched over and cleansed and being washed. And the bride is going to make herself ready. I mean, like you said, I've been blessed by every study. I can't be on enough of them, but I can't be on all of them. But the ones that the Lord allows me to be on, I'm washed, I'm blessed, I hear Jesus Christ, and I receive what I need for that day, and I'm thankful for it. And I'm thankful for you. And I just want to end off with that. And I think Betty's been waiting there. Betty, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Thank you.
That's okay. You're welcome.
That's all right. I enjoyed that, Tony, very much. It was a blessing. Anyway, you were speaking several verses in First John, and I didn't know if you'd read these verses right here, First John 5:14 and 15. Said this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him.
Amen.
So he has to inspire us with anything that we do. If we call on anything, it has to be doing his will.
Amen, Betty.
Petition to call on his will.
There you go. It's Christ working in us both to will and to do of God's good pleasure. And you're showing us the verses that remind us of that. So thank you for that, and thank you for pointing us to those verses that reveal that. He hears us, and we hear each other. We hear Christ in each other because it is Christ in us. We're hearing Christ, and Christ is hearing Christ. And Steve, you're up there.
Yeah, I come on really late, but when I come on, Cheryl was talking, and you made some comments, Tony. But just when Cheryl was talking, just in the mind about
You broke
some
up.
of the stuff.
You broke up,
Can
Steve. Would you mind saying that again? Sorry.
hear me now? Can anybody hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay, I just wanted to quote scripture from the conversation there from Cheryl and from yourself. And this is one of the things here. This is John 7:7. Our Lord says, "The world cannot hate you, but me it hates, because I testify of it that the works are evil." And from that there, it just brings me, you know, to another one in Revelations, and this is Revelation 2:2, and again, it says, I know thy works and your labor, and thy patience, and how you cannot bear them which are evil. And you have tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars. And Tony, you were talking about, you know, reading the scriptures, and when Christ was here, the New Testament wasn't written yet, and apostles haven't wrote anything. So I just want to bring out some scriptures that connect with that Revelation 2:2 in the John 7:7. And I'm just going to read some scriptures. These are from John 17. I always tell everybody, to me, this is my
you broke up all-time. There. Steve, you broke up a little bit there. Sorry. Just the last couple of words.
Okay. I'm just saying that John 17 to me is one of the most awesome. The authors are good. But this is our Lord praying to his Father for us.
Amen.
So anyway, this here is ties in, like I said, Revelation, and that's 2:2 in John 7 that I was quoting.
Yes.
I'm going to start here with John 17:12 and just down to 20. And it says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. That those you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have joy fulfilled in themselves. And here it is here. I have given the word, and the world has hated them, because they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even I am not of the world. Sanctify them through your truth, your word is truth. And you have sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified through truth. And I'm going to end it here, because this is one of the things that what you were saying, Tony, the apostles haven't written the scriptures yet. But this one, like I said, this is our Lord praying to his Father for us. And Christ includes all his believers in John 17.
Yeah.
From when he first set up the new covenant to this very day and beyond. But this is 17:20, and here's what our Lord says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. And through their word is the New Testament that all apostles wrote. Even though they weren't written yet, that's what Christ says, that we believe on Christ through their word, because we wouldn't have a New Testament if the apostles didn't write it. And their word is the New Testament. And that's what we believe Christ, because those words that Christ said, I have given them the words you have given me, and they have received them. So I'll end it right there, Tony.
Beautiful. Thank you, Steve. That is just an incredibly encouraging series of scriptures, and I think that we need to think on that, and we need to consider the miracle of the loaves and fishes. That's what I thought of. I go back to one of the earlier studies I heard with Mike, and he talked about how there was so little that they had, you know, in terms of what they understood to be the truth. And thought, well, how are we going to fill these studies up? How are we going to fill an hour? How are we going to fill, et cetera, et cetera? and look at what happened. Look at how the Lord has blessed and shown us that his work, this loaves and fishes miracle of feeding those people who were there. There's two stories where there's a gathering and there's symbolism through that, of course. I won't go into that, but I just want to mention that what you've said here is a brilliant reminder for us that Christ is able to feed the lambs and the sheep and the sheep, like he said, through the body of Christ. And it is by staying in the Word and studying the Word. We do have to search out the truths, and like you bring these things to us, Stephen, and everyone on this call has contributed, whether it be through your prayer before the study, after the study, whatever it is that we talk about, we end up anointing each other just because we have this relationship with Christ. And we are, all things are working together for good. Each joint is supplied, and we're recognizing that. So labor in that word, labor for the meat which does not perish. I want to be clear that that comes through tonight, because when we do that, then we can sit at this table and bring something like you just did, Steve, and like Cheryl did and does, and everyone else, and Betty did over and over. She's been such a great encourager of our faith, Betty Rogers, Fanny, everyone on this call. But I'm just telling you my own personal experience. I have been held up over and over by the prayers of the saints, through emails, through, and this is just what the Lord is showing us and witnessing to the world. That's what true discipleship is. It's about having this feast together that the Lord is preparing. And that's why he had people sit down and had that miracle of turning the loaves and the fishes and multiplying it, showing that we can be that people. We can share that word, like you just said, Steve. We can be doing that miracle in the Spirit, which is greater works than Christ, feeding all of those people, are feeding each other tonight, and every time we come together on any particular study, is a greater miracle, a much greater miracle than Christ feeding those multitudes, because that's just a shadow of what we're doing as the body of Christ. So I'll leave it at that, but I want to thank you very much for that, and I think our brother Mike has something to say too.
Yeah, I do want to just add to what you said earlier, Tony, because we have, and Cheryl, thank you for what you said too. I certainly love and appreciate the zeal that the Lord has given you. You have that gift. That's your gift. But understand that there are those who just don't have that gift. They have another gift. Look at all the people that are here tonight. I'm just looking at the list. You know, Betty Rogers, Bobby and Eileen, Cameron, Deb, Cheryl, and then Deb, and Diana, Kenwin, May Passaporte, Michelle Kelly, Sandra Montez, Steve Lozo, and Wendy. Now, Cameron, for example. I'm not picking on Cameron. I love Cameron. He is a, especially at conferences and just getting at these conference, these webinars. He's always the one there every week, week in, week out. Just there. He's there, and he opens these things up when nobody else is there. The Saturday one I miss so often because of family functions, and he always opens it up. That's his gift. He may not be as the kind to just dig in the scriptures and share what he's finding with others. That's not his gift. I say it's not. He's not saying a lot, but that, I know. I happen to know Cameron. I've talked to him. He is as solid as a rock when it comes to spiritual understanding, knowing the doctrine of Christ. He just knows it, and he can handle the Word of God. You don't run over Cameron Williams with false doctrine. He knows the voice of the shepherd. Same is true for all of these people that are on here tonight that don't speak that much. They're all gifted in some way to feed the body of Christ, every joint supplying something. So I just want to encourage everybody that we're aware of that, and that I'm sure Cheryl's as aware of it as any of the rest of us, but we appreciate each other. We are grateful for what each of you do, and we've missed Steve while he's been gone, you know, but we're grateful for the gift that God has given him. So thank you all, and thank you, Tony. I know I'm...
No, thank you, Mike. I appreciate what you've just said, because, you know, I left out that part, Cheryl, and I appreciate how Mike has been a blessing that way to me. You are very much given that gift, and it's true, and that serves the body of Christ, and it helps us and reminds us that we have to labor to labor for the meat which does not perish, and I appreciate that zealousness that God has given you very much, just like Mike is saying. So, and I just appreciate how we can see and understand how everyone has a specific strength in different way, but it all works together. God just has built the body that way, and that's going to be a great witness to the world one day, that we're not a bunch of you know, I said there's one event unto all men, but we're not a bunch of pencils, carbon copy pencils. And in one way we are, in one way we're not. We have differences, but all of those differences work together for good, because we are God's workmanship, and we are really truly blessed to see that before the world, that we are a cherubim. We're melded together by the hand of God. And it's just something to think about. And I hope you're encouraged by everything that we've said here. So, and everyone else. I mean, I'm very encouraged by everyone here. Wendy, you had your hand up there.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you for this study. I had gotten an email from Cheryl last night, and I told her she's our little gold digger. I'm not. I was a child raised up that didn't even know how to read because they didn't know I needed glasses. So I can, what I do know, though, is what God has taught me, I know it. But he uses the body of Christ to build upon it and to make me more sure-footed and more rooted and grounded. I can't say I've ever read the entire Bible. I really can't say that, even though the Lord told me one day, because I was beating myself up. He said, you have, because it's telling the same story over and over again.
Amen.
And I'm grateful that we have Cheryl and Steve and Mike and Tony and Gail and Betty and Sandra and Michelle and all these wonderful, wonderful people to, like it said, we've all been given a portion.
Yes.
The goal is to help each other grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior.
Beautifully said, Wendy. I appreciate that very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, the dream is one, and what a beautiful way you've just expressed that, so thank you.
Thank you. Love you guys. All of you.
Okay, well, are we going to, do we have time?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead. Verse 3. Iniquities prevail against me, as for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Iniquities will prevail against us for a season, just like we talked about at the introduction. And if we are God's workmanship in this age, then over time we will come to understand that this prevailing is of the Lord, who brings us to cry out and see our need for the Lord to purge them away. And Romans 7:19, of course, says, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. And Romans 8:7-11, why is that the case? This is why, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ is in you, be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. And of course, that's an ongoing is, was, and will be verse. And God willing, we will continue to be quickened right unto the resurrection. And it's just so encouraging to consider that the Lord starts a work and he quickens us. And But he also shows us that we're putting off the flesh. There's a process there so that little by little the beasts are driven out of the land so that we don't become puffed up and think that somehow we're doing this work. We're overcoming. No, a true overcomer knows that it's the Lord working in them, both to will and to do. Psalms 107:28-30. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. He makes the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad, because they be quiet. So he brings them unto their desired haven. Romans 7:19 must occur so that in the day of our deliverance, we can clearly see that it is the Lord's Spirit that is bringing us liberty and purging away that which he allowed to hold us in bondage, as revealed in Romans 8, verses 7 to 11. So that's the bondage, and that's just the process that God works all the time. So that ties into what we're talking about here in verse 3 of Psalm 65. Any comments on that third verse? Steve, your hand up there.
And I just had to unmute myself. I just want to quote these scriptures because, you know, for that scripture, what it says, it just reminds me of this here, Ephesians 5:26. And he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such stain, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And I just like to add these scriptures because, you know, one of the things, you know, with this discussion and everything, I just like to quote a few scriptures, Tony, with the whole thing that we've been going here. And this is 1 Corinthians 2:12. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And this here is 2 Corinthians 11:7. For I have committed an offense in the base of myself, that you might be exalted, because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely. And I'm just gonna, I'll end it with this one here, Tony. This is Revelation 21:6. And he says unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is the thirst of the fountain of water of life freely. And I end it there, Tony.
Wow. Thank you for that reminder. Steve, that's beautiful. And in light of God's sovereignty, we know God gives us that thirst. And, you know, when Christ said to his disciples, will you leave me too? When he told them that you have to drink my blood and eat my flesh, many, many of the disciples walked away from Christ at that point. They could not bear to hear that. And so we are being told and being reminded that that hunger and thirst to go beyond, to see past the physical, to know that it's the Word of God and that it's Christ doing this work in us, is very, very clearly explained in those verses you just quoted. I missed one of them, so I just want to go back. Which one in 1 Corinthians did you quote? You quoted 2 Corinthians, but I didn't get the 1 Corinthians one.
Yes, Tony, that was 1 Corinthians 2:12.
2:12. There we go. That's for the record. Thank you, Steve. I appreciate it very much. Okay, we'll go on to the last verse. Blessed is the man whom you choose and cause to approach. And doesn't that tie into what Steve just quoted in Revelation? We're caused to come before the throne and to be given that thirst, and unto thee that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. With this understanding of verse 3, that it is the Lord who is working all things in the lives of the elect according to the counsel of God's will, we can start to see in this fourth verse the incredible blessing that comes upon those who are judged in this age. Blessed is the man whom you choose to be judged in this age. 1 Peter 4:17. The time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Well, we know the end, the order is in order. They'll be judged as well by the saviors who have been judged, who come up on Mount Zion. It is through the dragging to Christ, through thee, and causes to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts, where we shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, even of thy holy temple. Chapter 15 of John makes this point very clearly, and especially at the end, but I'll read it. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord does. Isn't that interesting? We are told right there, the Lord is not going to keep us in the dark. He's going to keep us and stay our hearts. He's going to let us know. We don't have to worry about the morrow, but we can know that when we're in the Lord and obeying his commandments, great peace have they who keep his commandments, and nothing shall offend them. We're not going to be offended by the world. We're not going to be offended by the wars and the rumors of wars. We're going to remember our Lord's voice. See that you be not afraid. That's what Christ is telling us here. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. And that's the last part of our study. I'll ask for comments in a moment. I just want to read at this last section here. The verses we studied tonight were intended, I suppose I made that clear, to direct our thinking toward the miracle that of them which you gave me have I lost none. Christ, like ourselves, was only able to accomplish what he did spiritually in the flesh by the power of God's Holy Spirit. And the same is true for us as his body. As he is, so are we in this world. It's interesting to note this verse. It talks about judgment, right? Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. This is our day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. So it tells us right there that Christ was judged. When he was in the flesh, his flesh was being judged. God has mercifully bestowed this power upon both the head, Christ, and the body of Christ. And I'll end off with these verses, John 5:30. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. And John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. And finally, this verse really tells us of who we are and the anointing that God has given us. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy. Think of what prophecy really means. It means to encourage, to exhort when we come together. 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. And are there any comments on that last verse that we looked at, or any part of the study? I think, Steve, you had your hand up there first, and then we'll go to Wendy.
Yes, I just like to add a few scriptures, Tony. Some of it, again, connects with some of this other, you know, discussion that we've been going through. Anyway, this one here is 1 Corinthians 3:16. It says, "Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" And this is 1 Corinthians 6:19. "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own?" You know, and this is one of the things that came, this one came to mind again when you were talking after what Cheryl got done saying. This is Ephesians 2:20-22. And it says, "And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows unto holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye are also are builded together for the inhabitation of God through the Spirit." Now I'm going to end it here, Tony, with Revelations 3:12. "Him that overcomes, I make a pillar in the temple of my God, let you go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem. It comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my name." And I'll end it there, Tony.
Wow. Thank you, Steve. Thank you for those very appropriate and timely verses, as always. Thank you. Wendy.
I was just going to, when you read Psalm 65:4, was it? Yes. A scripture just came to my mind, so would you like me to read it?
Yes, please.
Okay, let's see. It is Psalm 17:15. "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness."
Amen. Wow. That's beautiful. It's quite something to think about what we are today in earnest. And when you read that, Wendy, I think of different comments that the brethren have made throughout the years, you know, but what comment sticks in my mind is that we are, all things are new. We're a new creation. And we will see Christ face to face. We will be like that wind that Christ describes. And that really means that whatever we can't help it. We hold on to something in our flesh. Christ did himself. He said, "Don't, there's none good because flesh is not good." But Christ knew and has empowered us to see that we look to him now. We look to Christ in each other. We look to that which is ahead of us, not trying to build up the flesh, but actually trying to decrease so Christ can increase. And all the verses that we know tell us that. But the point I wanted to make is that when we see him in that day, we will see him face to face. We will see each other face to face. We will see the intent and the desire and, you know, the kesef, the silver that God's purified in our lives, and the gold will become all one and under Christ, and Christ under the Father. So that's a very appropriate and beautiful verse to bring up, because when we behold Christ's face in righteousness, we will be seeing Christ and his Christ. We will see Christ in each other. And we do see it now today. We see it, of course we see it, but we also know that we will see it in a way that is fuller. And that's, I don't know how else to explain it except that, and as the scriptures declare it. So thank you for
that. You know what? Also, as you were speaking, I thought the other day I was talking to Sandra, and brought up about conferences, and I told her it's just a wonderful experience because when you come together, there's no stranger.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah, there's a great...
Yeah. Thank you so much for the study.
You're welcome. And thank you, everyone, for contributing and for helping us grow. Steve, your hand is still up there if you want to...
Yes, I just wanted to add a scripture to, like you said, that was a good scripture that Wendy said. I'd just like to add a witness to that one, Tony.
Please.
1 John 3:2. It says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, but we shall see him as he is."
Amen. Thank you, Steve. That was the verse that I was thinking of. Thank you for bringing that up. Appreciate it very much. And everyone else, thank you for what was a very encouraging study for both Gail and I hope everyone else, for Gail and I and everyone else.
Thank you for the study. It's very good. Keeps us going.
Good. Right, you sure
thank
do.
You very much.
Love you all.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Good study.
Thank you, Tony.
And a blessing.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Thank you, Tony.
You're welcome. Yeah. God bless.
As I say, peace in Christ and arrivederci.